Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for all of the amazing blessings that you have given us, including life and our senses and our mind, to seek understanding and knowledge. Thank you also for the challenges which you have given us or allowed us for our own personal challenge. And we get to put our attention to that instead of some other things that might be in the world ready to harm us. So let us rest in our circumstances, which has the right amount of both ease and difficulty that is just right for us and for me at this time. We pray in Jesus' name. At the end of today's broadcast, I'm going to tell you a surprise, a warning that a vaccinologist, Bert van den Bosch, said about the current vaccine. And you can look him up. Gert van den Bosch. But first, I have been thinking about how we all have a story to tell of life's experiences, and how God Jesus worked in our life and saved us. There are many testimonials of how God has healed us, performed a miracle in our life. We get to tell our testimony, and the person who hears it gets to decide if it was a miracle from God or something else. People say, oh, we made something happen, or the universe made it happen. Well, we hope the people who hear our testimony will have a sensibility to recognize the hand of God. And if you look, you can see the truth of the Bible in this world around us and in the events of our lives. We have seen them in history. Ever since Jesus was alive on this earth. And that history is written, yes, in the Bible, yes, in the Book of Martyrs, and there are stories that we all tell. There's plenty of testimonials from Christian missionaries in the last 100 years, and these are a few of the well-known Christian missionary people. Corrie ten Boom, Gladys Allride, Hudson Taylor, Jim Elliot, Elizabeth Elliot, Nick and Rachel Saint, Brother Andrew, George Moeller, Amy Carmichael. Oh, and there's so many more. There was Martin Niemöller, and he was persecuted in Hitler's Nazi Germany, and he is famous for writing this. First they came for the communists, and I did not speak out because I was not a communist. And then they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. And then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak up for me. And this is a historical example of what can happen to our social and legal rights when we do not preserve and protect our rights. Our rights and our freedoms can be lost, or they can change into something else. So tell me, do you think our responsibility can change as to preserving and protecting our rights? Because there are changes going on in our nation today, and maybe we need to look back in time and see how some things have changed for our rights. Let's just go back to the 1960s when there were the Black Panthers having protest marches in many cities across America. There was a widespread call to end discrimination. That was widely said by many groups, and there were many speeches and many protests, and sometimes they turned into riots. And during those marches, there were many people who carried shotguns or rifles or army guns. And you know, I wonder what would happen today if any group marched around carrying guns. And I really mean any group, white, black, Jamaican, Eskimo, LGBT, any group. So that would indicate that our rights are what, less today than 60 years ago? Well, I wonder. Here's another example from the 1960s. My old friend is a retired deputy sheriff. And then when he was a young recruit, he was called out to cover the 1960s Watts Los Angeles riots. He remembers a deputy sheriff nearby him arresting a woman for using profanity in public. She was yelling the F word in public. And that is another example of how times have changed. We cannot imagine someone being arrested for that today, can we? So, going back even further, there was a little saying that went, an armed society is a polite society. So, yes, things have changed. How about the fact that in California today, store employees are told not to impede, you know, to do not get in the way of a shoplifter. See, today in California, a shoplifter can steal up to $950 of material, and it is considered a misdemeanor. So, does that make life in California better or worse? By the way, I understand that we have locally 2 big stores that are not hardly restocking merchandise, and that when most of their merchandise is gone, they will close those 2 stores and move out of state. So yes, times are changing, and it reminds me of the so-called catch and release system of law enforcement. The common citizen often feels like the system is trying to take whatever we have, whether it's freedom or our assets, you know, the assets we have worked all our life to acquire. And there is always the threat of a lawsuit in this society, which can take away our savings and our assets. I personally know 3 people in their 60s, no, now they're in their 70s, who, in my opinion, have always been reasonable and proper people. Their actions have been, you know, decent, and yet they were sued And those lawsuits took away their nest eggs. And now they're living in poverty. Well, sure, relative poverty and just plain barely getting by. So, indeed, what is our legal system doing? I remember it was about 22 years ago in Hayward, California, there were about 20 apartments that were fenced off, and they were getting ready to tear them down and put something else there. And suddenly, the owners found six of their units were occupied by squatters. The owners, they were stumped. They didn't know what to do. And finally, they took this action. They hired some tough-looking characters to pay the squatters $2,000 cash if they would move by the end of the month. And five of the six moved, and one did not. And the one that did not move cost the owners almost $20,000 to get that squatter legally moved out. Plus, it took 2 months of delays to get that person out. So that is one story of California giving rights to illegal squatters. Of course, sometimes the legal system with the courts, the police, and all, they work really smoothly. But you never know if the good and normal principles, like Bible principles, will prevail or not. And we are to follow biblical principles. We know that. I like to remember that scripture to be as wise as a serpent and as gentle as a dove. That's one translation. Another translation says, as shrewd as a serpent and as harmless as a dove. Well, you get the idea of Matthew 10:16. As a principle of life, I like to think of having a continual conversation with Jesus. I like that goal. And I think a goal like that is good. And from what I can tell, people of every culture have wanted to have a close relationship with their God or their God spirits or whatever, powerful spirits, whatever it is. They want a relationship. And so various people have had various ways of pleasing, quote unquote, their God. In the olden days, there were many little g gods. They were evil gods who required human sacrifices. Often they were of innocent people like babies or slaves. And often in pagan cultures, that is what happened. But in our culture, we are blessed to have the Bible and our one true God who loves us and who loves other people. Isn't it plain that it is better to love our neighbor than to kill, cook, and eat our neighbor? Yuck! Well, anyway, we can be thankful for our Christian missionaries, and, oh yes, let us pray for them, and let us financially support them. That is needed. Both are needed. So, in history, in the history of spreading Christianity around the world, we have found that it has not been perfect in what the missionaries have done. But if you consider everyone that has been a missionary, really, the record is very good. And settling places, you can have a basic fundamental principle that carries on throughout that civilization or city or area. For instance, in America, the pilgrims in New England were generally religious Christian people, while the settlers of Jamestown were generally worldly people like merchants and such. And so there were two different traditions within each group, and it impacted how their own society developed, and it was very different. There were exceptions to the rule, because you could have religious people in Jamestown and worldly people in New England, but that was a general rule about how those locations developed with their traditions and the people in them. So when I think of colonial New England, I think of the Christian writings of the Mather family. They had unusual first names, so we can remember them. There was Increase Mather and Cotton Mather, and then they had a couple of regular named people like Matthew and Samuel Mather. Well, when I think of that period of time in the 1700s, I think of the sermon by Jonathan Edwards. He was living and preaching in Connecticut, and the sermon was titled "Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God," and it caused a revival to spread across New England. As people's hearts softened to the message of the Bible, the message of Christianity, they felt grief for their sins, and they realized how serious it was to be a displeasure to God. So it's a good sermon. It is certainly worth reading, and it is moving. There have been people who have talked about it for a long, long time. They talk about the theme in it of how unhappy God is with sin being in people's lives. And they might talk about how easily our life could be over, and then we each would be judged right there and then by our God Jesus, who hates sin. And so we had better get right with God, live right with God. And another way that it's said today especially is to put your faith and trust in Jesus, and then live like you mean it. Yeah, that's right. Read the Bible yourself, and you will get a better understanding of your relationship with God Jesus. And think about how to turn from your sins and be born again. After all, you are responsible for your own salvation. So please, check it out with God, who will judge you. Read your Bible and follow Jesus. Isn't that kind of the best policy? Yes, yes, it is. After all, there really is a God, and the Bible really is true. And we all must be born again, and that is if we are going to see the kingdom of God, we must be born again. John 3:3. Know that God is present in our lives here and now, and that God does listen to the prayers of His own. And I'm going to tell you about a recent experience. It's a conversation that I had with a Christian friend of mine. First, let me tell you that there are historians who want to tell you that our U.S. founding fathers were mostly not Christian. No. Read their writings yourself, and you can clearly see that they were Christians, that they were concerned for the unsaved, that their writings they are all available online. Just read their writings and not what a commentary on them. Read the originals. And then you can see that they clearly were Christians. Anyway, I talked to my Christian friend a few, like 3 days ago, and this is a praise God report. He said that he had been praying for his dad for years, and his dad had been a practicing Scientologist for many years, and everyone, even his dad, could recognize how Scientology surely could be a cult. But the dad kept going anyway, and the son kept praying for his dad to come to know Jesus Christ of the Bible. And now, lately, the dad has been going to his son's church, with his son to his son's Christian church. And so, that son's long-time prayers, I mean years-long prayer for his dad, are being answered now. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. And here's another part of that same conversation. The son has a new job now for a couple of months now, doing almost the same thing as he did at his old job. But for months, he has been getting severe leg pains at night. And he tried all the remedies that are usual, magnesium, potassium, and hot baths. But he had severe leg cramps, and they continued. So he thought he would have to quit his job. And then a few weeks back, like 3 weeks ago, there was a man working nearby him. And, you know, like men do, he asked, "How you doing?" And my friend said, told him about the leg cramps and how nothing helped. So he was going to have to quit his job. And the fellow said, "Well, let me lay hands on you." And he did. And he began praying. And suddenly he felt a large hand also on him. And that was a fellow worker who joined in prayer, speaking out loud. And since then he has not had a leg cramp. So, yes, it's another praise God report. Hallelujah. God is alive and working in our lives. We have an awesome God. We know by examples and by faith that God is good all of the time. But the world certainly is not good all of the time. From what I can see, it is because of man's free will. You know, too often, man chooses to do what is not good. Man chooses evil. And thus, we have bad things happen in the world. We have wars. And sin abounds. We know that there is much conflict in the world. We know that. But probably we're not going to have a world war, at least not yet. But there are tensions. You know, tensions rise when the various heads of state do not get along. Like our President Biden, he recently called the Russian president a killer. You know, that's not good for public relations or relations between countries. And also, President Biden said, "President Putin will pay a price for his efforts to undermine the 2020 U.S. election." Well, to me, that sounds pretty close to fighting words. And so, President Putin did take action by withdrawing the Russian ambassador to the United States. So, I can imagine future relations could deteriorate very quickly. And just for a moment, look at the United States from an outsider's point of view. And yes, you can see that tensions could rise rapidly. While President Biden is pointing to Russia, at Russia, to blame for tampering with our 2020 elections, Mike Lindell is wanting to tell the U.S. Supreme Court to investigate his evidence of how foreign countries have interfered in our 2020 elections. There are computer logs, computer records showing how the vote was tampered with, how the fraud came from both China and Iran. And if this is true, it would help explain President Biden's apparent great friendship with China and Iran. Oh, and you can throw into the mix that Dominion voting machine company that did not like Mike Lindell for saying, for implicating voter corruption with their company. So there is now a big lawsuit by Dominion against Mike Lindell. And it's a big thing, you know. It's a big thing that for generations, American citizens have been taught that our elections are special. They are sacred because, so-called sacred, because they are the core of our republic form of government. And we, the people, have believed it. We have believed it, even though we knew that for over 50 years, there was cheating, vote cheating in the big cities, where dead people have been voting basically all that time. And even in the 2020 election, there were more than a few counties, that in those counties, there were more votes tabulated than there were registered voters. So, yes, there is good reason to believe that something is not going on. Something good is not going on with our elections. It's a question. And it's not just about the presidential election, not just that one. It is all elections. And I remember wondering how certain people ever got elected to public office. Maybe you remember that too. How did they get into office? And I remember here in Northern California, you might remember also D.V. Kidd. She ran for public office in the 1980s, and she had widespread grassroots support. It was obvious. But she lost to a nondescript candidate, and at the time, it just seemed impossible, or at least implausible. And that was the first time that I questioned our elections. I mean, I can understand Chicago or another big city having corrupt elections, but not my area, not California. And yet, there have been rumors of a corrupt vote. Oh, for as long as I can remember. I remember in 1991, I was standing in a line next to two women, and we struck up a conversation about politics. They were older. She had just retired from basically a lifetime of working for the upper levels of the Republican Party. And I remember her saying how the Democrats had been cheating for years, and now Republicans were doing it also. And so I had to ask, what do you mean? How do they cheat? And so she described how a political operative would help the opposition candidate to get loans to expand his business. And then they would pull that support away, and somehow the business and the person went bankrupt. A little more to it than that, but that's the basic principle. And thus, that person could not afford to be in politics. He had to take care of his business. And so they would leave, and that was a form of what she was calling dirty politics. Here's another example of corruption. I talked about this on a broadcast about a year ago, and I'm just going to say it pretty succinctly, shortly right here. Just keep it short. This was in the mid-1990s. A man I had known for years told me about the corruption that he knew about in the city government that we both dealt with. And I knew all the people involved. And I remember hearing the stories how different people, especially in city government, but other government-affiliated people also, had told me about a vacation they took or a car that they bought or just something like that. But until the time of this conversation, the next conversation with this man, I had no idea that these were really a gift, you could call it, but really it was a bribe. And that showed me that there really was corruption under the surface, all over the place, and I never would have guessed it. So, yes, I definitely believe that there could be widespread election fraud today. And we have to remember that we, as Christ followers, want to stand up for righteousness. Nobody wants to live under a corrupt system. So let us pray for God's righteousness to reign, and then let us act accordingly and righteously. Don't let corruption seek into your life, because we do not like a corrupt or unjust system. And the Bible gives evidence that God doesn't like it either. The Bible speaks against it. The Bible talks about judgment in Leviticus 19:36 and in several of the Proverbs, like Proverbs 16, 11, and 20, 10. They speak about just weights and measures. So you can kind of adjust that to right and wrong in politics. And then there's Philippians 2:4. Let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Yeah. So how are we doing at that, Christian family? Are we following the Bible? Are we following Jesus? I think we all have to leave room for improvement, because we want to be what God calls us to be, and we're not quite there yet. And we have to be really careful that we are not trying to improve. We have to actually improve, actually live what we are called to do. And yes, I know that is not always easy to do, but that is what we are called to do, easy or not. That's what we are to live according to Jesus Christ and the Bible. We're supposed to do it. So in one way, we could say it's easy. We can do it. It's easy. It is. Just keep that in your focal point. From what I have read in the Bible, we certainly are accountable for what we do, and we are also accountable for what we think. So being a Christian and following Jesus, it is easy when we set our minds and our hearts to it. And you know what would happen if we don't follow Jesus. You know, this is a choice we each make, and the consequences of that choice are heaven or hell. So please, look at this very closely yourself. And I would say, do not trust a preacher. Do not trust any man. No one. Not me either. I'm just a radio guy right now. But with such an important decision as heaven or hell, I hope you look into it yourself, because you are responsible for yourself. It's not the pastor that saves you or the evangelist. It is you and your personal relation with Jesus Christ. So look into it. Be sure of your relation. That is what to do. We are all responsible for ourselves. And I was just thinking of that big Texas electrical outage. Remember that? Just late February 2001. I was thinking of a Texas mayor there. Oh, Texas City, that's it. And he said, "No one owes you or your family anything. Nope, it is not the local government's responsibility to support you during trying times like this is. Only the strong will survive and the weak will perish." So that's what that mayor said. And you know, oh, he had a lot of response. He was so unpopular that there was a great uproar and he had to resign. How interesting. We are in a society today that wants to look at Darwinism, where only the strong will survive. So that mayor was lambasted for what he said. He had to resign. So do you believe in Darwinism? Oh, or do you believe in mercy of Christ Jesus? Well, we have something going on today. Darwinism is going on, and it says only the strong will survive. But here is that mayor of Texas City, and he was lambasted for saying that. So better figure it out. You know, so often we want somebody to take care of us. We want the rich and the powerful and the United States government to save us and to keep us from any discomfort, to keep us from being hungry or anything. Oh, with that attitude, what do you think is going to happen to our society? Where will it end up? Well, biblical students are very concerned for the United States of America. And Bible students kind of wonder why the United States is not in the Bible. There are those who say it is, and there's some who would say that it was Mystery Babylon. It's going to have be judged. So Babylon has several identities. Ancient Babylon is one. Spiritual Babylon is another. Physical Babylon is another, and then there's the New Babylon. It just depends. You can interpret things different way, whether they're Bible or just looking at life. And that's what I hope you do. I hope you do look. And by the way, there are two Babylons in the world. One is the ancient city of Babylon, and the other is Babylon, New York. And for some people, they look at saying, Babylon is where the nuclear bomb will hit, and it will affect New York City. Well, that's just what some people say. Maybe it's true. But there are possibilities, and we might as well look at them. And I think preparation is always good for everybody. It's simple preparation. You know, I want to also note that we are to love God and love our neighbor, as Matthew 22:37 says. And how do you understand that? And how do you love your neighbor if you have nothing to be nice to them for, not in attitude and not in something to help? So your preparations can be a great thing. And all around the world, we get to deal with all sorts of things. Lots of time, they are just plain distractions from our relationship with God. That's what I think. And I know people who don't want the world, not just the world, but the sinful world in their life. So, for instance, I know people who used to watch football on TV, but I also know many people who have found the halftime shows so ungodly that they have turned off the television and no longer watch football. Huh. And you know about the socially incorrect cartoons, don't you? They have been removed from public viewing, and so has Dr. Seuss, all the while that Cardi person is being promoted, even though she has that history of being a prostitute and a drug seller. Oh, well. Take away our cartoons and give us soft porn. What a trade. Oh, we have plenty of things that are not going well in our society. There is a lot of concepts and a lot of imagery, and just things are not always going so well. I remember the Graham, Billy Graham and his daughter Ruth were saying things about America being judged. There was a parallel between Sodom and Gomorrah being judged and America being judged. So I don't know where we are. I don't know what the consequences will be. But I know that you can look at it in that life, a light, in that light. So we have consequences for our actions, and certainly we have consequences for the things that we do to take on debt as a, personally or as a country. There are natural consequences when we do things. Oh, like to kill and abort our babies. You know, our country now has to import workers so that we have enough workers in our country. That's a consequence. And often the people who come in worship a different god, and that is bringing about a new America, so to speak, a new America. Well, we are allowing public schools. That's another thing that has consequences. I don't know that that's judgment, but the consequences. We are letting our young children become involved with forces of darkness. You ever hear of Harry Potter? Well, we are promoting things like witchcraft and not Jesus, and so what happens? There will be consequences. And some people are getting pretty scared of it. They are actually scared. And doesn't that remind you of Luke 21:26? Men's hearts failing them for fear and looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the power of heaven shall be shaken. So there are things going on, and we are going to get consequences, and it just might turn into judgment. It is a concern. Actually, it's scary. Life without Jesus is scary. So put your time and attention into your relationship with Jesus. Develop that. And then you will see that there is nothing, nothing at all to fear. With Jesus, with God, all things are possible. I remember as a teenager that I was very fearful of dying, and that would keep me awake at night, sometimes several nights. It was just a great fear of mine. And then halfway through my life, I searched for the truth of God, and it took me several years to find. But now I am secure in my relation with Jesus, and I do not fear death. I do not fear the afterlife. I am certain in my relation with Jesus, and it is wonderful. So search out that matter until you understand the truth of God and the truth of the Bible. All in life, there are so many distractions, and we must remember to stay focused on Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and our Savior. And there are all sorts of distractions, from the very simple ones like what we see in front of us, or even getting hungry. Food can be a distraction from God and Jesus. Money can be a distraction from God and Jesus. The things that we want or the things we buy, again, they can be distractions. So just dwell on it so that you have some understanding as how you are to deal with the things that come up right in front of you. I know there's things I look at. It's just my interest. I like to look at money, too. That's an interest of mine. I have training in it. I like to look at disaster preparedness. Why? Because I've seen so many of them. In my life, I've seen them. I've been by them. I've been to them. Anyway, right now we have a very beautiful photograph. If you want to look it up, there are photographs of an erupting volcano in Iceland. To me, it's lovely, but there are geologists or volcanologists who are now saying that this eruption in Iceland may very well be the beginning of decades of volcanic activity. And if that is true, then we would have to be thinking about food shortages, because as the atmosphere gets clouded up, the food crops do not fully mature. And then we don't have enough food. Yes, troubles can come. So keep your focus on Jesus, but also do things to be prepared. There can be crises of many kinds. Like I said, I like to look at the preparedness, which to me is food and water and warmth. And of course, there's more than that. There's community. There's a few more things. Water and famine is what we can pretty easily do. So do that. And that reminds me of 2 Kings 6:25, where the king of Syria besieged Samaria, and the city was starving. And somebody killed a donkey and sold just the donkey's head for 80 shekels of silver. So this is, yeah, I know it's a generality, but it's a biblical example of what can happen during times of starvation. So yeah, you want to have your money that will cost 80 shekels of silver. And by the way, at that time, it cost 30 shekels of silver to buy a slave. So, you know, better think about it. Food is good to happen. Emergencies and disasters happen. So, yes, money can be important, but food is really what you want. For the money thing, we have had our money destabilized for 100 years and more. And I remember a Montgomery Ward catalog from the 1940s selling tennis shoes for 20 cents. And dress shoes were like 90 cents. So I remember seeing those things. I remember hearing that the first Social Security check was for $22. And people could live on that barely get by. But you see how inflation is just affecting everything. Oh, and that's our financial world. And our financial people, like the Treasury and the Federal Reserve, are giving mixed messages on what to expect. Sure, they're talking about low interest, almost zero. But the other day they were talking about they would let inflation run hot for a while. So what we have here is mixed messages. And a lot of people are expecting that hyperinflation that I know I've talked about before. That they expect hyperinflation because our money entities keep printing money, or doing it with paper, or doing it electronically. And to me, that just more rapidly causes the deterioration in our economy that we are seeing. And what can we do to protect ourselves? Well, the common answer is to buy property. Okay, that's good. If you can buy property and have zero debt and several years of taxes and other expenses, well, that's good. But most people can't do that. So the real regular answer is to buy silver and gold. And Yes, the prices are manipulated. There is no doubt about that. So buy the physical silver and gold coins. That's what I suggest. Even if you can only buy a couple, I think that's really the way to do it. There are plenty of people who are saying, get on the cryptocurrency chain. Invest in that. And that very well may be the thing to do because of the blockchain technology. But what it is also doing is linking everything, absolutely everything together. All of your purchases are completely watched over and tracked. So do that if you want. But there's nothing wrong with diversification. But just think about what would happen if. Just think about it, be aware of it, and know that things can really happen. For the precious metals, silver and gold, I do hope you look, if that's what you're looking at, get the physical coins and keep them. Because if you get a piece of paper that represents that you have metal, you don't know. The estimates are there's 300 pieces of paper that say you own 1 ounce of gold. Or somebody else has said there were a couple of thousand pieces of paper contracts that are covering that 1 ounce of physical gold or silver. And I don't mean I know. All I know is that things are not what they're supposed to do be, and we have to be careful with what we do. Be careful with where you buy your metals also. Find somebody who's been in business for a long time, a reputable dealer, they say. Gold is expensive at close to $2,000 an ounce. Silver is what you want for regular transactions because that's roughly $30 an ounce. It's just something you have to look at and decide. And do remember that God put us right here, right now, at this time. So we are able to deal with all of it. And that includes the two great commandments, to love God and to love your neighbor. So we can do that. And we are able to deal with all the things because God knows we were able. And that's why he put us here now. And for months now, our country has been dealing with several crises. One of them is the economy. Another one is the COVID-19 virus. Both things are really on people's minds a lot these days. And it's something that we have to do, think about and be careful about what we do. Because there's many options we have. What do we do? How do we deal with it? The masks are something that, you know how many people question that. It's not just that they're getting tired of them. It's that they say they're ineffective. Well, I'll let you figure that one out. But do realize that there are two sides of every story, two arguments to every story. And I'm going to tell you another story to the vaccination thing right now, because there was a health professional that sent a letter to all the other health professionals that he could find. He did that through LinkedIn, and you can also find his letter and presentation on the worldwide web. So now, please bear in mind that this man is a pro-vaccine person. In fact, he has spent a lifetime of developing vaccines. And yet, he is warning us about this current Corona COVID-19 vaccine. His name is Geert van der Bosch, spelled G-E-E-R-T. Vanden, V-A-N-D-E-N, Bosch, which is B-O-S-S-H. C-H-E. And here's a part of his resume. His resume is that he worked for GRK as a senior director of vaccines, Solvay Biological as the global project director for influenza vaccines, for Novart as a director of research and a program leader. He worked for Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation as a senior program officer. He worked for Global Alliance for Vaccines as the program manager. He worked for Univac as the chief innovation and scientific officer. He worked for the German Center of Infection Research as the head vaccine development officer. So he is clearly pro-vaccine, but he says that this vaccine for the corona COVID will threaten human health. He says that after some months, this vaccine will overpower our natural antibodies, and thus the vaccinated humans will become a GMO or genetically modified organism, and that our normal and natural antibodies will be overpowered by the synthetic antibodies in the vaccine, and thus there will be a big uptick in the number of deaths that are recorded. He expresses this about the current vaccine and says to promote it is against the Hippocratic Oath of do no harm. And there are other doctors and researchers who are shouting out the same kind of words of saying, use great caution about this vaccine. And there are so many that are risking their careers by speaking out. These are people searching for truth. And that's something that we must always do. We search for truth, first about our faith in Jesus, but also about the things as simple as a vaccine, so-called vaccine. So there are people who say it is not a real, true vaccine. But it is something that we all have to be aware of because it's in our society, all around us. Millions are getting vaccinated. Is it good? Is it bad? We don't have the trials to tell us, the long-term trials. So, search it out. Try to understand. And definitely remember Jesus in all that you do. Follow his commandments. And this is the most serious thing because we never know when we're going to meet Jesus. It's different for each one of us, and there can be surprises. So look to Jesus. If you want a little ideas and perhaps inspiration, write to me for my free preparedness pamphlet, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And you can listen to any past broadcast again by going to www.christtoday.org, all lowercase and no spaces. And may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Give me passion that pours out to every man.